Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the audio conference call about the ICVM-461 public hearing. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions to participate will be given at the time. If you should require assistance during the call, please press the star key followed by zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded and broadcasted live via webcast. The replay will be available after the event is concluded. I would now like to turn the conference over to B3.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Hope everyone is well, and thank you very much for attending this call. As you may know, at the end of last year, CVM Brazil's regulatory body launched a public hearing process about potential changes in regulation for the securities market in Brazil. In today's call, we will present B3's answer, explaining their underlying rationale, and answer any questions you might have. We have here with us Mr. Mário Palhares, who is the Director of Listed Products at B3, and Mr. Rogério Santana, Director of Buy-Side Initial Relationship at B3, both of which have led internal efforts to prepare our answers to this public hearing. I'll now turn to Mr. Rogério Santana for him to briefly conduct the presentation. Rogério?
Thank you, Marcela. Hello, everyone. I hope everyone is healthy at home or at work. It's a pleasure to be here. We prepared a very short presentation with five or six slides to cover the main topics of the discussion and the main views and positions delivered by B3 to the Securities Commission within this discussion. This public hearing is split in three different blocks. There are three different draft of rules. The first one touching on the rules that applies on organized markets in Brazil, notably exchange, but also some specific kinds of OTC platforms. The draft two covers the requirements and the rules that regulate the self-regulatory organization services, or SRO, as it's commonly referred to. The draft three, it touches on best execution and minimal requirements applied on the intermediaries in this context. Starting the presentation, the slide number four that you have in front of you, we start in the draft A of the hearing, touching on some key points of the discussion. It's important to have in mind that this hearing or this proposal of change in the rules has, as a context, a potential fragmentation of the Brazilian markets. Some topics currently are not that relevant, but will become relevant if one day we have the Brazilian market fragmented, the exchange market fragmented in Brazil. The first topic in this context is clock synchronization. Here, it's very important that all trading venues and all intermediaries connected to these trading venues should use the same standard and also the same source as a clock synchronization or to provide clock synchronization. This is very relevant to assure that all venues are offering the same conditions and are running at the same time. As a consequence, the brokers could perform or deliver the best possible execution for their clients. It's important to use one specific standard. Here, the CVM proposes that the standard should be the UTC. That is currently the standard used by B3. We also think that the Securities Commission should impose minimum requirements in terms of precision and accuracy to be adopted by all the players in the market. So this is one important point. Although the hearing does not touch on operational aspects on how to implement that, definitely this is a topic that should be discussed with all the market participants to find the best possible way to implement that in terms of costs and in terms of time frame. The second topic is related to data consolidator. There is a discussion if we should or not should have a single official data consolidator in Brazil, as you have in US, for example. Here, the proposal of the Securities Commission is that we should not have one single player offering these services. Actually, it should be a more competitive dynamic with multiple players providing these kind of services. We agree with the view of the Securities Commission. And here, our only comment to them is that they should define or impose minimum requirements that should be followed and matched by the companies or entities that are willing to offer this kind of data consolidator services. The third topic has to do with listing requirements and admission of the securities to be traded in the venues. Here, for equity especially, it's currently the practice that not only the security should be admitted to be traded, but also the issuer of that security should be listed and follow a specific set of rules in terms of disclosure, governance, and so on and so forth. And this is the practice for the equities market, but we don't believe that it should be a minimal requirement for other kind of securities, for example, bonds and other kind of securitization and debt instruments. In this case, requirements for the issuer are much lighter, and we are worried here that if the same kind of scrutiny and requirements are imposed to them, it could have a negative impact in the fixed income, in the development of the corporate fixed income market in Brazil. So we should have different set of rules for equity versus other kind of securities and markets. The fourth topic has to do with risk management and internal controls that should be adopted by each trading venue that is operating in Brazil. Here we believe that it's very important to set minimal requirements for everyone to make sure that we will not have any kind of deterioration of the quality of our markets, and also it's important to avoid any kind of arbitrage in terms of rules and requirements between different venues, offering advantages or disadvantages to different group of players. The fifth topic has to do with procedures that will ensure that if a specific security is suspended or excluded of the trading section, this should happen at the same time with synchronicity between all the venues. This should not be best effort. Actually, it should be some kind of arrangement or procedure or IT mechanism that makes sure that this rule or this specific suspension will happen at the same time among all the venues. So there are many technical discussions here, but we believe that considering the level of latency and the trading dynamic that exists today in Brazil, it should not be any kind of analogic or time-consuming process that will link or communicate or establish communication among the venues. It should be some automatic procedure that will connect and ensure that it will happen at the same time among all the players. Moving to slide number 5, there is one of the key topics of this hearing that has to do with the proposal brought by the Securities Commission to add some kind of flexibilization and innovation in the Brazilian regulatory framework in regarding to block trading. So in Brazil, as you know, the same set of rules apply for regular transactions with average size, and at the same time applies on large block transactions. So what the Securities Commission is bringing to the table is the possibility of having new special procedures or new special segments that would facilitate and improve the environment or the platforms to enhance the matching of block trade orders. So here, our main highlight has to do with how this kind of flexibility could jeopardize or negatively impact the integrity and the transparency of the market. One of the one or two of the possibilities that could be allowed would be no pre-traded transparency for these kind of transactions, and also they not necessarily should follow the time and price priority that we see in the order book that is very common in all the exchanges around the world. So if the Securities Commission allows that any kind of blocks should not follow these minimal requirements or rules, we believe that over time it could have a very negative impact in the price discovery process in Brazil and as a consequence in the quality and in the integrity of our market. That's why we are proposing to the Securities Commission that they should cap or establish a cap in terms of volume traded in regard to the group or the share of the transactions that could follow these more flexible rules. We are setting the threshold at 15%. So in other words, 85% should be 85% of the volumes should stay at the club, at the lead market with full transparency and also respecting the time priority, time price priority rules that are applied in the order book. The Securities Commission also asked if this special set of rules for blocks should be implemented within an exchange environment or within what we call here in Brazil organized OTC. That is it's a OTC that needs to follow a minimum set of rules set by the Securities Commission. And in our view, it's clear that an exchange environment offers advantages over OTC platforms. First, because it's centrality that allows any intermediary and any investor to access the platform, to access the order flow under equitable conditions, increases significantly the chance of the sell and the buy order match each other within the platform. This is very common in all the exchanges around the world. There are innovations that be implemented in Europe and in other jurisdictions that facilitates the trading or the matching of blocks within an exchange environment. Also, the entire infrastructure, procedures, technology, it's already in place in Brazil for the exchange environment, so it should have a much smaller operational and cost impact for the entire industry in Brazil. And in other words, it should be the short way to improve the trading of blocks in Brazil. And finally, there are some two very important aspects related to tax treatment and legal or other kind of restrictions that would apply in different group of clients. For example, foreign investors, when they trade within an exchange environment, they are exempted of capital gain tax. It is not true if this transaction is carried out in an OTC platform. So foreign investors would be in a bad position to trade blocks versus local institutional investors. But also, we have a restriction that applies on specific group of local institutional investors, notably pension schemes in Brazil that impede them to trade securities or stocks in an OTC environment. So allowing block trade in an OTC platform without addressing these restrictions could create distortions that will impede or disbalance the equilibrium or the level playing field among all group of clients that are very active in the Brazilian market. So that's why we believe it should happen. This flexibility should be added to the exchange environment, obviously B3, but also other potential exchanges that are willing to open operations in our markets. And finally, probably the most important aspect here is the fact that once you are trading in an exchange, you have the guarantee of a central counterparty for all the transactions. Trading OTC, according to the Securities Commission, could be possible in a bilateral settlement arrangement that will change completely the risk assessment made by all the clients, will change completely the risk assessment dynamic, and potentially bring risks that are not present in our markets today. And finally, one very specific aspect of this discussion is that the Securities Commission have not said what is the threshold that says or that sets what is a block and what is not a block. They believe that they are proposing that the SRO entity should be the one responsible for setting these thresholds. And we will discuss the role of the SRO in the coming slides. And we don't think this is should be a responsibility imposed to this player or to this entity. Actually, it should be a responsibility of the Securities Commission after discussing with different group of market participants, including investors and intermediaries, what should be the best threshold for considering different levels of liquidity, different levels of market cap, and obviously any potential impact in the integrity of the Brazilian markets. Moving to slide number 6, we have some comments on the draft EB that covers the role of SRO in the Brazilian markets. Today, the regulation says that each exchange should have its own self-regulatory entity or self-regulatory departments. In the case of B3, we own one specific company that is not for profit called BSM that provides this service for B3 in all the organized markets that we have within our company. The discussion brought by the Securities Commission touches on the possibility of having one single SRO for the entire market offering services for all venues that are operating in our markets. We agree with this concept. That's why we have any kind of restriction to impede BSM to offer services for new entrants or new exchanges. But we don't believe that this should be an imposition or a requirement set by the rules. Actually, it should be a choice of the new exchange or of the new entrants if they want to build or develop its own SRO structure, or if they want to hire the services provided by BSM under equanimity and isonomic conditions that, on one hand, does not create any kind of barrier for a new entrant, and on the other hand, does not create any kind of free riding effect or advantage for the new player versus the incumbents. So the hiring of these services should happen through a commercial agreement, and we believe that the Securities Commission should describe in the rule which kind of criteria or methodologies should be adopted by the SRO to evaluate the price of its services. The third topic here has to do with the competences of the SRO. As I mentioned, this hearing is proposing a very relevant change in the dynamic of the market in Brazil, and it definitely will impact the role of the SRO. And we don't think that this is the appropriate time to also adding new responsibilities and also expanding the competences of the SRO. For example, having the responsibility to set what is the threshold for blocks or not. We believe that it should not happen at the same time. We first need to wait to see how the Brazilian market will develop, if we will or not have new players in the Brazilian market, specifically new exchange, and then over time discussing what is the, if it is the case or not, to add the new responsibility to the SRO. Finally, in these slides, there is a discussion regarding the investor compensation mechanism that we call MRP. Before going into details in this topic, it is important to make sure that you are aware that this discussion has nothing to do with the CCP rule or with the safeguards or guarantees that are pledged in the CCP and as a consequence offers safety and integrity to the market. This is a different discussion. Here, the MRP, it's a mechanism or a fund created over the past decades in the Brazilian market, and it offers some kind of safety to retail investors. In cases where, for example, the brokerage house that's used by this investor bankruptcy, or in case of losses of the investor as a consequence of operational mistakes or wrongdoings of the intermediary, the investors can claim to be compensated or reimbursed by this fund. This is a fund that today amounts to 380 million reais as a total, and the cap for reimbursement is 120,000 reais. That's why this mechanism addresses specifically retail investors, not institutional investors. Here, the discussion is that while the Securities Commission believes that this MRP mechanism should be open to the entire market, B3 believes that this was built specifically to cover or to protect investors that are trading within B3's platforms or within B3's venues. So if a new entrant or a new exchange want to set up an operation in Brazil, they should or first build its own MRP mechanism or asking B3 and BSM to access the existing MRP and paying for that. And this discussion should be a traditional commercial discussion between the new entrant, BSM, and B3. Finally, moving to slide number 7, we have some comments on the draft C that covers best execution criteria in the Brazilian market. In fact, we already have a rule that covers this subject, that is the CVM rule 505. But considering we only have one exchange in Brazil, it's not a topic that's being frequently discussed with the markets. But in a potential fragmentation of the Brazilian market, this criteria or these rules will definitely gain relevance. And here, in our view, first, the existing rules under CVM rule 505 is already prepared and well designed to address any kind of problem that would be created by the fragmentation. It clearly sets responsibility for the brokerage firm to agree with its clients what means best execution for each of them or for each group of clients, and as a consequence, they would be therefore obliged to follow these requirements and these criteria. The CVM also raised some questions if we should have or not an OPR rule in Brazil following the framework you have in the U.S. markets. We don't believe that this is the case, bearing in mind that the market works very efficiently in Europe without OPR and also in other jurisdictions. And also considering that the OPR rule is being under a lot of criticizing from many players in the U.S. markets, and the OPR rule itself is being under the scrutiny of the regulator today. So we don't think it would make sense to implement this kind of arrangement in Brazil. And as a consequence, without an OPR rule, the CVM would not need to oblige each brokerage firm to be connected to all the venues. So this is a key topic for the intermediaries industry in Brazil. Obliging them to connect to all trading venues would potentially increase significantly the costs and the investment that are necessary to maintain all this complex infrastructure. Regarding to the differentiation between qualified investors and non-qualified investors, notably retail investors, the Securities Commission is proposing that retail investors should follow, or the orders of retail investors should follow, very specific and strict set of rules based exclusively on the total disbursements in that transaction. So what it means, if a retail investor sends an order to a broker, the broker will need to choose if they will execute that order in the exchange A or in the exchange B, and this decision will be made considering exclusively the total cost of that transaction, including not only the fees charged by the exchange, but also the spreads, the bid and ask spreads in the screen at that specific moment. So although it apparently makes a lot of sense considering that retail investors are usually not that informed, it could create some distortions, specifically for retail investors that are more sophisticated and that, as a consequence, would prefer to execute their orders in a venue that offers low latency, better technology, better services, in a venue that discount schemes, for example. And finally, for the ones that are trading more intensively, the concentrating the order flow and the transactions within one single CCP is definitely much more efficient than fragmenting that among different CCPs and different platforms. So that said, we think the Securities Commission should not bring such a strict rule for retail investors. Actually, they should offer to retail investors the same treatment that are offered to institutional investors, where the broker can design the best execution criteria considering the profile of each client. And the last topic of these slides and of this presentation has to do with rebates and pay for order flow schemes that are allowed in some jurisdictions and are not allowed in other jurisdictions. Considering what we learned from what's happening in other developed markets, we think that allowing these kind of schemes could create distortions in the Brazilian market and could distort the best execution rule that not necessarily will be in the best interest of investors in Brazil. So exchange and other trading venues should not be allowed to offer any kind of rebates or pay for flow, for order flow schemes to attract order flow to their platforms. So I conclude here the presentation so we can turn to the Q&A section.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session for investors and analysts. If you have a question, please press star 1. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the question queue, press star 2. Please wait. Once again, if you have a question, please press star one. Please hold. This concludes today's question and answer session and concludes the B3 audio conference for today. Thank you very much for your participation. Have a good afternoon, and thank you for using Chorus Call.